healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. On this show, I'm going to be talking with Annie Glasgow about aging. What does it mean? Can you change the concept of aging by changing a word? Can just changing a word create a difference in how people feel, how they act, how they respond to the whole notion of aging? Our first segment, we're going to be looking at the whole notion of why do we need to do healthy alternatives. So we're going to play Guess the Company. So this is a company that this year issued 9 product recalls and had over 130 million of their products taken off the shelves in stores. 30 children have died from taking its medication. Its CEO has been subject of congressional hearings, investigations. Quality problems are called systemic by federal investigators, and they've even had foreign executives who have been put in prison for bribery charges. Sounds like a pretty horrendous company. What is the name of that company? Well, it turns out to be Johnson & Johnson. That's right. The ones who make Band-Aids and all the kinds of things we buy, Johnson & Johnson is the one that had all these recalls. Now, you haven't heard a lot about it. Could it have something to do with how much Johnson & Johnson spends each year on advertising? Will $2.5 billion buy some silence from the media? It very well might, because you're talking about a situation where our health is at stake, yet there's no brouhaha happening over this kind of approach. That's why we need to look at healthy alternatives for ourselves as to what can we do to maintain our optimum health and do it as natural as possible. If you'd like to know more about me, you can follow me by just clicking on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. What I want to look at now is the notion of breakthrough alternatives. What's some new things out there that you can use for yourself? Well, you go exercise in the gym, and you come back, and the next day or two, you are really sore. Well, there's a couple of things you can do to alleviate that soreness. One is there is a homeopathic remedy called Arnica. You just put these small tablets or liquid in your mouth, let it dissolve in your mouth, and that's all you need to do. My niece shared with me that she was going to the gym, coming home, and next couple of days she was sore from that. So I told her about Arnica, and she probably used it with a little. Another thing you can look at is ginger. That's what you have on your shelves, or if you buy the root and you cut it up. What it does is they've discovered that it can reduce the pain from muscle being exercised by about 24%. What they did in a double-blinded, controlled, placebo-controlled, randomized study is they gave people either placebo or they gave them 2 grams of ginger, either as supplements or raw, over an 11-day period. They then had them do very strenuous exercise with heavy weights to induce what they called moderate muscle injury to their arm. And what they found is that the ginger did reduce the pain levels by around 25% within 24 hours. Next show, I'm going to be talking about other natural pain relievers that you can use in a variety of ways for yourself. Before I introduce my guest to you now, I'd like to tell you about one of my new books, Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. What I like to do is read reviews from other people, so it's not me talking about it, but let you hear what other folks have said about it. And this was posted on Amazon by CHF Chillenhill is the person who wrote this one. Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times is filled with practical methods for dealing with stress and reducing the effects that prolonged exposure to stress can have on the body and the mind. Right from the start, it is obvious that Dr. Teplitz has conducted extensive research into the subject of stress. The past year has been difficult on many levels for me and my family. I have gained over 30 pounds and mostly stopped sleeping through the night. I have had this book for several weeks now and have chosen to use the breathing, some of the shiatsu massage, yoga, and meditation techniques in the book, in addition to increasing my physical activity to address my stress. It's also amazing how quickly my outlook, general attitude, and sleep have improved. And CFH highly recommends the book. To find more out about getting the book, you can go to teplitz.com. You can also get the book on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles. So my guest today on Healthy Alternatives is Annie Glasgow. And Annie has a master's in social work from the University of Utah with an emphasis in marriage and family. She was founder and director of the Agency for Family Support Center in Utah for the prevention and treatment of child abuse and neglect. She's been an adjunct professor instructor at University of Utah Graduate School of Social Work and the Department of Pediatrics, University of Utah School of Medicine. She's also been a director and therapist of a parent program on adolescent substance abuse at Salt Lake Mental Health. She's a speaker. She focuses on humor and stress, humor and aging, and she's written the book Gift to the Present and Hang Your Red Hat on a Limerick, limb spelled L-I-M-B-E-R-I-C-K, Limerick. That's part of her humor coming in. And so I'd like to welcome Annie to the show. Welcome, Annie.
Thank you very much, Jerry. It's a delight to be here and talking with you.
Well, great. So here's my first question. You are into something that you have labeled welderly. Let me spell that so people understand it. It's W-E-L-L-D-E-R-L-Y. What is welderly?
Welderly is what we become as we have birthdays. We really don't like the designation elderly with its negative connotations. And we certainly don't want to be called or known as elderly. So welderly is what we become when we claim our own power as seniors, as people who have had birthdays. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be all that you can be. It's a time of choice. We can look at the tragedies of our lives and go over them and over them. Or we can look at the triumphs that we have every day and that are a part of our history. It's a time when we look at the fullness of the glass, not the emptiness. It's a time of true rejoicing. It's a liberation of the spirit. It's a time to celebrate life everlasting, I believe. Not always laughing.
So, Annie, let me ask you a question, because your background is kind of helping people out of, let me put the word, ditches that they've been in, real difficult things with child abuse, neglect, and substance abuse. How did you get into the positive side of the equation?
Well, you know, the only difference between a rut and a grave are the dimensions that's pretty close to a ditch. So looking at the ways in which we are all, hopefully, having birthdays, those of us who are fortunate, if what day would you do without? It would mean you weren't aging anymore, but I don't think anybody is rushing to do that. I stumbled on this, or I decided on this. It was an intentional decision. I had given many workshops in Utah on humor and healing, humor and therapy, humor and many things, as you indicated. Mm-hmm. When I moved from Utah to North Carolina, I thought, I like that, but I don't want to work in child abuse anymore. I gave at the office. What do I like? I like humor. What are we all doing? Oh, hark. We are all aging. Voila. That's how it was born.
Did you ever run across Patch Adams when you said you were in North Carolina at one time, I think. Is that correct?
That's correct. I lived there for 6 years.
And did you ever?
I like to say I'm a Rolling Stone.
Did you ever run across Patch Adams, who, as the doctor, for folks who aren't aware of him, who there was a movie about that Robin Williams, I think, played him, and how he transformed from being a regular doc to being, in effect, using clown stuff to cheer people up and discovers that he's healing folks. So, did you ever run across him before? Because it sounds like a similar decision.
It is. I did not run across him in North Carolina, but since coming to Minnesota, I have encountered him. Again, I think this was in Arizona, but I have known more of his work, and he certainly did, has done, and is doing, I think, so much to really dignify and to celebrate the whole area of humor and healing.
Yeah, it's the notion of bringing that into our lives. The research is now showing more and more positive outcomes from sticking that in. And as you know, Norman Cousins was one of the first to really heal himself by an incurable illness from watching the Three Stooges and I Love Lucy, I think, and a couple of the other kinds of comedies like that. Do you have some of the research that you have looked at that got you excited in terms of differences that can happen for people as they're quote unquote welderling?
Well, we have certainly many, many very well-known sources. I think the people at Loma Linda University are doing a lot of serious research in brain changes and components and pain relief as a result of using humor. Some of the research that I like to quote is research by Dr. Seuss. His book about Clarence Odell, my very young friend who is learning to spell and who learns to go beyond the alphabet and enrich his life, is an inspiration to me as we go beyond, again, the definition of elderly, and we recognize the role that welderly plays in our society as well as in each one of us.
So can you talk a little bit about how people can maybe develop this new thought process to look at themselves differently, that, you know, I'm getting older instead of I'm getting welder. So what's that thought process that you'll have to go through? And have you found something that really works to assist them?
I think that simplicity is what we all value, and I think one of the simplest ways in which to begin, it's a process, but to begin to think of ourselves as welderly is to look at what works. Look at the positive. It's too easy to look at this knee that hurts, to look at these wrinkles that are on the face and various other places in our bodies, to look at the opportunities we have rather than oh, I can't do that anymore. I'm just over the hill. And negative decisions, it really has to be intentional at first. And then I believe that we begin, it's a habit. We begin the habit of looking at what's right, what works, what power do I have? Often, because we don't have the power we had when we were 21, we think, no, I don't have any power at all. That's not true. There are many, many things that happen as we get older. Now, old, there's a word that we don't like in our society. But I have a granddaughter whom I met when she was seconds old. I'm not the only one. All those of us who of this vintage have grandchildren, most of us. We met them when they were a certain amount of old. She's now 7 years old.
When you're talking about the physical things that happen to folks, there's the minor stuff, there's the medium stuff, and then there's the kind of the major stuff, like paralysis, for example. Can you talk about how, because that person who's got paralysis, how can they change their viewpoint to look at this notion of welderly when they've lost pretty much their body?
I guess the hope and prayer is that they have their mind. When the mind goes, quote, unquote, we look at that as a dreadful thing. It is a dreadful thing. But is it as bad as we, on side of that, think? I'm not sure. This happened to my mother. I've lived through this. My obvious hope and prayer for her was that it did not affect her in the same wrenching way that it did my sister and me. We don't know. We just don't know what it is that's going on there.
Let's come back to that in a minute, because before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be right back with my guest, Annie Glasgow, in just a moment. What I'd like to do is tell you a story about the impact of the material in my book, Switched on Selling, Balance Your Brain for Sales Success. This is a book that rewires the circuitry of the brain using very simple body movement exercises called brain gyms that were originally developed for children and adults with learning disabilities. A year ago, August, a pest control company in Virginia Beach, the CEO, Kevin Kordick, he put one half of his sales force through this one-day live seminar, which you can now get in book form. Kevin put the mediocre folks in through the class, and one of the things he observed immediately after the class, six of the eight people jumped over his top-tier salespeople and became the new top-tier level. In October, he put the rest of his sales force through the class, and then I spoke to him this past August, so we're talking about middle of the recession he started, and then he had people through the slow recovery. I asked him what happened. He said, over this one-year period, his profits have doubled. On two of his high-end product lines, he's the number one distributor in the country, and one of his people went up over 300%. My co-author for that book is Dr. Tony Alessandra. He's a sales guru. He's written 20 books on selling, and he does the technique in each chapter, and I do this brain rewiring concept, a totally unique concept. You can learn more about it by going to teplitz.com. You can also buy the book on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles. So my guest today is Annie Glasgow, and Annie has a master's in social work from University of Utah with an emphasis in marriage and family. She's been founder and director of the Family Support Center in Utah, which focused on prevention and treatment of child abuse and neglect. She's been an adjutant professor at University of Utah in the Graduate School of Social Work and also Department of Pediatrics, University of Utah Medical School. And she's a speaker, she's an author, she focuses in on humor and how we can really look at the whole concept instead of elderly, of welderly. And before the break, we were talking about your mom, Annie, and how you thought the way she handled dementia was different than the way you and your sister handled it. How did that manifest? What did that look like in terms of what she was doing and how she was handling it?
We could see that she was very quiet. She had begun previously to really, in a muscular way, to shut down first the legs, then the arms and the hands. She never was a good writer anyway. the lungs never shut down that we knew, but the voice did. Now, whether the eyes did or whether this she retreated, we'll never know. But that happened. So we went through that process of almost an anticipatory grief that happens when someone is ill for a long time. Mm-hmm. We were focused on our own grief, as we all are. And finally, we focused on what we thought her experience might be. We have no way of knowing that. But because she was so still, and her face, there was a stillness in her face, we read that as being at peace and realized that her experience of this was totally different than ours was.
Fascinating. Now, Annie, you also talk about bringing the social, emotional, mental aspects into this whole concept you're talking about. So why don't we hit them one at a time so you can talk about how that relates to the concept you're talking about of welderly. So let's talk about the social side first.
You know, the number one disengagement for people who are becoming much older is disengagement.
Hold on. What do you mean by disengagement?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Disengagement, moving away from life, moving away from that person. Sometimes older people become less comfortable to be with. They may speak more slowly. They may not see well. They may not hear well. And it's more of an effort to be with people like that. So often I don't think it's always conscious, but there's a withdrawal from people like that. And the stimulation that we all need between all of us, is gone. That, I believe, results in people being, quote, old, older than they really need to be. We all want to grow older, but we don't need to grow old in the stereotypical way that is meant. Old is a treasure that we have.
If you've got somebody who is doing this disengagement, how do you help them out of it? To move them back into being engaged?
I think you put them in places where they can be more engaged. There are many adult daycare centers. There are opportunities to have people come in as a stimulating presence. Meals on Wheels is an excellent example of that. Volunteers come every day to the house and bring a hot meal. This may be the one time that older, shut-in person might have a human connection. There are certainly calls that people can make and connections that way, but that does not really take the place of that human connection, that I-thou interaction that doesn't have to be very long. It just needs to be.
One of the things that I've been reading that has been coming about in this country is people coming together, kind of like in the commune days that we had in the 60s, but people coming back into kind of small communities of maybe five or six or seven people, sharing a very large house or a number of houses in a neighborhood where people are connected, and part of the agreement is we'll take care of each other. And to me, that is hearkening back to what we've been missing in this country is the tribal concept of you've got a support network of, you know, people around you to assist you as you go through Welderly so the disengagement doesn't have to happen. What do you think? Do you have any thoughts about that kind of an approach?
I think that's a wonderful approach. And I wonder, as we look at a different economic scene, if that perhaps might be one of the benefits that comes from it. It's something that we had in this country at our birth, and that was so strong, but the fabric has certainly worn thin recently, as we've emphasized me, I, want, at the expense of recognizing needs and recognizing the importance of community.
Let's go now to the emotional side of the equation. Can you talk about that in terms of the Welderly and the emotional notions?
I think one of the emotional strengths that we have, and I refer to this in Life Ever Laughing, not Life Always Laughing. That's a sentence. That's laughing at anything, even the most severe things. Ever laughing, I believe the word ever refers to something that is always with us. Sometimes, as birthdays accumulate, the memory of that wonderful childhood laughter, which we all experienced, is lost. And it's important to revive that, to make it live again. However that can happen, I went through this process, and I read joke books. I wasn't laughing anymore. It was after a severe loss, and I worked. Oh, I was doing good work, but I wasn't playing. I needed to play. Those books actually represented a jump start. They primed the pump for those of us who aren't old enough to remember what priming the pump meant, but it was a good jump start to laughing again and to becoming once more someone with energy, someone with creativity, someone who could make the puns that you were referring to. And, oh, you've seen only the tip of the iceberg, Jerry. It gets a lot deeper.
Well, let's not go too deep here, lady. So
that's very charitable.
Let's focus now just briefly on, because we're running out of time, it's on the mental side of the notion of Welderly, because a lot of people view the mental as, you know, one of the things that they're most concerned about.
Absolutely. I think any ways we can stimulate ourselves, continue to stimulate ourselves, the people who tell us to learn a new skill know exactly what they're talking about. Doing crossword puzzles and Sudoku, we hear about that. There are other kinds of things we can do. Exercise is a marvelous thing. I'm in a wheelchair, I can't exercise. Oh my, I can wave my arms to music. Dr. Dale Anderson's Jarming. There are ways of learning something new. Watching television is a very passive thing to do. We need to be active in our learning. Reading books, children's books sometimes, school books, ways of bringing back some of those wonderful concepts that we had at our fingertips. I would like to talk for a minute about the spiritual too, Jerry.
Sure, you got
okay.
1 minute. Sure.
I think the spiritual dimension, however that happens for us, is really vital. We think about the spiritual dimension and we think, oh, yes, people of that certain age are studying for finals. That's why they're reading the Bible some more. Or that's why they are referring back to their faith documents. I think that the spirituality represents connection. I needed to stress that when I was speaking earlier on isolation, because I think that our spiritual connection brings a perspective as well as a response, and that those are qualities we need to have as we navigate these wonderful Welderly years. So it's spirituality, however that happens for us. We've heard about the minister who was visiting the 94-year-old woman and said to her, "All right, I think it's time you thought about the hereafter." And she said, "Oh, I think about the hereafter all the time. I walk into the kitchen and I say, now what was I hereafter?"
And on that note, I'd like to thank my guest this week of Annie Glasgow. And if you'd like to learn more about Welderly, she's got a website called BBE-Welderly, WELLDERLY.com. Annie, thank you for being on the show today.
Jerry, thank you. And healthy alternatives to us all.
Next week, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Will Tuttle. He's the author of the Amazon best-selling book, number one, The World Peace Diet. We're going to be looking at the connections that we may not be aware of between our culture, our food, and many problems that we're actually experiencing today that are due to those interrelationships. We're then going to look at positive ways to transform our viewpoints of these. We're going to be looking very deeply at the notion of veganism and what does it mean for you and how will it affect your life. So join us next week with me and Dr. Will Tuttle. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com or follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.